This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 in a message entitled Running the Race.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to have a different type of service this morning. Something that we've been praying about, the team here has been praying about, and I pray that it would be a blessing to you. But we're going to talk about running the race and running the race. So we're not going into Ephesians. We're going to be right here, and you're going to see some slides and different things that we're going to look at here. I've got the power, finally, on the slide presentations here. Sorry, Josh, wherever you are, I took the power away from you. I've got it, okay? So, yeah, someone said good for me. It might not be good for everybody with me with the power, but anyway. And so we're going to look at some things that I believe that are very important for us to consider. And again, we've spent time praying about this, considering this, and we pray that it will be a blessing to you. I'm going to be straightforward on some issues. And I pray, again, that it will be a blessing to you. But I want to start in 1 Corinthians, as you see there on the screen, beginning in verse 24. It says, "Do you not know?" He's speaking to us today as we read this. The Holy Spirit would use what Paul said to those back in Corinth in application, but saying to you and I individually, "Do you not know? Have you not experienced? Do you not understand that those," that's you and I, "who run in a race all run?" Now that makes total sense. Now why would he say that? Notice those who run in a race all run. If we're in a race, whatever it would be, let's say it's a 100-yard dash. We're in a 100-yard dash. We're in that race, are we not? We're not there to, when the gun goes off, just kind of casually meander down there. I mean, we're going, we're sprinting. We have a goal. We understand what it is. We have trained. We've done all of this. And all of a sudden, we have an opportunity to run the race. The gun goes off, and then we're off and running that way, trying to win the prize, whatever that prize may be. And so Paul's saying to him, "Do you not know that those who run in a race, we all run, we're participating. There is a call on our lives." Now, we're going to look at some things here, but I want to remind you at this moment that this fellowship started with 5 individuals in our living room. 5 individuals. So if I counted 5 right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, any beyond those 5, what? Not that they're not a blessing. Sorry, guys, not that you're not a blessing, but it's just the icing on the cake. Through the years, I always go back to 5 individuals. I can see their faces, I know their names, and I'm grateful that God allowed that, and we're going to talk about that. But then he's allowed more than that. I found when we were starting the church initially, I used to preach to the empty seats. That's a dangerous thing to do. In other words, you're more concerned about the empty seats than the full seats. You can get in trouble as a pastor doing that. I learned not to do that. On the way to church every Sunday morning, I just say, "Lord, bring whoever you would want, whoever you would want to be here by your Spirit." And I just rejoice because hopefully it'll be beyond 5 people. And I'll say, "Wow, that is wonderful." And so we're in the midst of a race individually, but we're also in the midst of a race collectively as a group of people. It's called the church. Jesus is the head of the church. But we're in this race together because for some reason you guys have said, this is where you choose to fellowship. So we're part of this race together. We are to be trained. We're in the midst of that. We're to encourage each other. We're to come alongside of each other. We're to provide those things to help a person run a race. Someone just came up to me, and I don't know if there was anybody here, but that could be a word of knowledge about somebody here that's brokenhearted, feeling abandoned by the Lord. I welcome that. I think that's part of the body of Christ because the Holy Spirit can do that and speak to people and reach out. So again, Paul, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But notice one receives the prize. Did you see where that guy broke the 2-hour marathon record? Did anybody pay attention? I think it was the 2 hour. And he broke it by, I think, like 40 seconds or less than that. And that's amazing. Now watch, the threshold, now that it's been broken, like all these other records that you see, more and more people will think, I can do it. I can do it. If he can do it, I can do it. I'm trained. I'll train even more. There's a fact that a human being had done that. And so then I can do that. And that's the way it should be in our lives. We see examples of what God does and has done. And that's what I want to show today to encourage us that he's not finished with us. We have been praying that God would do the impossible in our lives. He goes, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize, whatever that prize is, that we would be able to obtain it. And everyone, verse 25, who competes for the prize is self-controlled in all things. In other words, as we're running this race, as we're getting prepared to run this race, as we're in the midst of it, we run according to the rules that are there. If you're in a marathon and you cut through a neighborhood you're not supposed to be in, you're cheating. And you know, you'll be disqualified. None of us want to be disqualified, do we, from a spiritual race that we're in the midst of? But people can be disqualified. Paul will talk about that. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, controlled in all things. Now they do it. This is people in the world or in this race that, you know, maybe like a marathon or something. They do it to obtain a perishable crown. But you and I for a, what's it say? Imperishable crown. I don't know what it looks like, but I just want to hear some words. When I leave this earth and I go to heaven, I would be so blessed to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Wouldn't you guys? I don't care about any crown, you know, whatever that is. You see those in the scriptures, but that I could hear that and I could say, oh, Lord, being able to run the race with you, the journey that is with you. It's a very important thing. It truly is. Then, therefore, I must run thus, not with uncertainty. I'm trained. I'm running that race. I know what I'm doing. I understand what it's going to take. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. And so we realize not only are we in a race, but there's a battle going on around us for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. When we lose sight that what we're involved in is the souls of people, we're in a dangerous place. Truly, do we walk through our neighborhoods? Do we understand that we have a communication with the creator of all the universe? And he says, I give you prayer, and I will hear your prayer. I will delight in your prayers. And if you pray anything according to my will, I will do that. That is not, is that not powerful? Yes? It is powerful. It's very powerful. And so we run that race. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Unfortunately, I've seen Christians become disqualified. I don't want to scare anybody, but I've seen it, and you've seen it, no doubt. Disqualified. They were so on fire for the Lord, but something has happened. Something has changed. What is it that's changed? And it's sad to see that way. We must discipline our body. We must have discipline in our lives. Put up those guards and all that because the enemy's trying to rip off. He's trying to rip off our young people, is he not? They come here and they sit here and they're sitting here this morning. I see them and I look out and I'm always aware. I'm always aware that the enemy's trying to get them. Now, they shouldn't be afraid. Parents should be, I'm always aware of that. So I pray for my kids. I pray for you guys. I pray because there is a world out there that wants to gobble them up. And sometimes it's the university that they choose to go to and the doctrines that they will get there or the teachings that they will get there. They have to be careful. So we pray that they are built up and run the race now while they're young so they will not become disqualified. And so I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. In 1 Corinthians here, the point is that we have a race to run, and I believe that that race is defined by Jesus as the Great Commission. We are to be involved in seeing people won to the Lord, and we discipled as in the Lord, and sent out into action for the Lord. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts. That's the vision that we have here. That's the Great Commission that we see in Scripture. So today, I'd like to review some things. Some of these things are going to be You've been around to experience these. You're an old timer, okay? You've been around and you've experienced these things. So bear with it and rejoice in what you have seen God do. Some of you are brand new. Some are visiting today. You haven't seen these things before. I pray it will be a great blessing for you because we are praying for the impossible and we have seen the impossible accomplished in our lives up to this point in so many different ways. Now, here goes the control. What do you guys see in that picture? What do you see? Two young guys. When I look at that picture, I look and see Mike McIntosh and that other guy there, but I look at Mike McIntosh and I realize age hasn't been friendly to him. Nor the other guy. This represents from 1975, when we accepted the Lord, until November of 1986, when we were called away. We piled everything into a moving truck, and with my wife and our two children, and we headed out to Indiana because God had called us to Indiana. So that one photo represents all of those years, because I'm not going to bore you with all the details there, but we saw God do the impossible. We got saved. We got saved. You know, that is the impossible, is it not? Each and every one of us here that claims Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have that, and we are on our way to heaven. That is something that was impossible and God made possible in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what all that represents, the ministry there that was back there. And then one day God said, okay, you're finished here. We put everything in a Ryder truck and we drove one vehicle. I drove the one vehicle with the two kids. I drove the Ryder truck towing our station wagon. We came back here on the way. We go through the state of misery and misery. The first time we have ever experienced freezing rain, and we thought, we're turning around going back to San Diego. No way. We had to get off the road. You didn't have cell phones back then. We had to get off and find a hotel, and it was crazy. If this is what the Midwest is like, forget it, you know. But we kept going further east until we got here. And we're so thankful that God has brought us here. It's been a privilege. But we arrived here on November 15th, 1986, and for approximately a year and a half, just experienced the wilderness. The wilderness. I mean, after all, we'd been in 10 years of ministry there, had the privilege to do this and that and everything. I won't bore you with the details of what I said. And all of these things, we are obedient to God. God says, okay, I want you to leave San Diego. Really? Okay, where do you want us to go? Indiana? Oh, Lord, you're kidding me. Okay, and so, you know, we get in there, come all the way over and all that, and all of a sudden, then everything falls apart. I won't bore you with the details, but we just called it a year and a half of wilderness. So many things just fell apart in different ways. I confessed every sin I could think of. I made up some sins and confessed them just to make sure my bases were covered and all that, because I didn't know what was going on. I really didn't know. And so we were here for that time, spent that time in the wilderness, and then around April, around October of 1987, we went to a pastor's conference out in Crawfordsville. Chuck Smith was teaching. In the midst of his teaching on Ephesians chapter 4, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and in a still small voice, you know how he speaks that way, and he says, "Now I've given you permission to shepherd my sheep." Really? What does that mean? Well, I wouldn't find out until about May of 1988. We still were sitting and just praying at that point and just praying whatever the Lord would have us do at that point. But in May of 1988, we started a Bible study right... Oops, I already pushed it. Did somebody push that? Or right there. I told you it's dangerous. That's over by Binford there, in Lakewood Village Apartments, and that's where we lived. And in there was a two-bedroom, honey, or a three-bedroom? I can't remember. Two-bedroom, whatever it was. And so we were in there, and that's where we spent a lot of our wilderness time. You know, we did that. Lord, what are you doing? We just don't know. But then after he gave us permission to shepherd his sheep, some months went by, and then all of a sudden, he gave us five individuals. And he says, okay, these are the people I want you to shepherd. And so we invited them to our home there, our apartment. And on Wednesday nights, we just get into the Word of God. And what we would do is they'd come on Wednesdays and we would call. They would call me on Saturday night and they would say, where are you going to go to church tomorrow? Because we would go to different churches to see what it was like here in Indianapolis and all. And so they would show up and we would show up and we'd walk into the various churches here in Indianapolis getting the feel for that. There was only five. One Saturday night, they called me and said, where are you going to go? And I said, well, you know, it's interesting. I don't feel like going anywhere, so you guys go do whatever you want to do. And then they said, Barb Corey said to me, she says, well, we feel led to come over and feed you breakfast, and we want you to feed us the Word. So that was Sunday morning that they came over. And after that Bible study, they said to us that we want to do it next Sunday. Would you do it? And I looked at them and said, you guys are sneaky. We're not starting the church. We're not starting the church. But I said, okay, I'll do that. We'll do it for a couple times. And so in that apartment, we started with five people, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. And then after a while we were doing that, then we opened the door one Sunday morning. There was a knock on the door, and it was around, I don't know, Claudia and Jim, you were part of that group, about 12 people maybe or something. How many? 30. Boy, you got a different story than I have. Okay, there was a group of people that showed up and knocked on that. They come into our living room, and that was on a Sunday morning, and there had been a situation in a church here, and they knew that I was part of the Calvary Chapels, and anyway, here we were. And in this living room, we were crowded in there, but we just had a great old time. It was fun. It was really fun. Just getting in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit just said, teach them simply the Word of God, simply. And we just did that. Well, what we would do is we'd have the adult study there, and down in the clubhouse at the apartment there, we'd have the children down there. And that was the clubhouse there. But after a while, it got too crowded in our house, back or our apartment back here, so we put the children in there, and we went over to here for the Bible study. And while we were over here, notice I got the button. Isn't this fun? Back and forth. While we were here on the fireplace mantle, there was this vase, and it was really funny. These guys, without us knowing, because we kept saying, we're not starting the church. But anyway, they would put checks in there. They would put money in there and all that. And I started yelling at them for doing that. What am I supposed to do with this? You know, and all that. But they just kept doing that. So we switched over, and we were here for a while. And it was just a great time that we were doing this. And it was really, really special, Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, beginning of the church. And so after a while, we grew out of this, not a lot. It was a small little place up there and had a great time. And then I was riding down Keystone, about 80th and Keystone. Colonial Hills Baptist Church was there. And I knew for some reason, somehow, that they had moved out of their old building. And I was looking at their new facility, and I knew that they had the old facility, so I just said a prayer. I lifted up a prayer, and I said, Lord, if we can use that facility, just open the door. And then that still small voice came and just said, well, go over and ask them, you know, just these, you know how God speaks to you. And so I went over and asked him, and I talked to the administrator, and he said, well, you'll have to meet with Pastor Heller. And Pastor Heller is just a great guy. So I met with Pastor Heller, and this is the very first thing he says to me. Young man, do you believe in speaking in tongues? And I thought, this is a short interview. We're not going anywhere with this one, because they're a very conservative church in there. And the Holy Spirit gave me wisdom. I just said, sir, if you're asking me if I believe that the gifts are for today, the answer is yes. I just wanted to get off the tongues issue. You know, I believe in all the gifts are for today. And he looked at me and he said, we'll rent it to you. Now, that was impossible. It was totally impossible. And this is where we went, right there. That's the old Colonial Hills Baptist Church building. We would be in there for 3 years. And here was the deal. They provided the parts, because this place was a mess. When it rained there, the water would come into the basement. And guess where Pastor Heller said that we could meet as a church? In the basement. I'm thinking, the basement? You know, there was mildew on the walls. It was just a mess, right, guys? You remember, it was a mess. It just really was. And I said, well, after we looked at the place, he showed me around, and I said, well, Pastor Heller, how much would you charge us just for the basement like that? And he said, well, $700. And I stopped and I said, $700 a month? And he said, yes. And I said, sir, isn't that a little bit? And he looked at me and, you know, right in my eyes, and he said, son, where's your faith? And I wanted to say, sir, where's yours? But I didn't. You know, we're just a small group of people at this point. So we went into that building, and as I said, here's the deal. They provided the parts, we did the labor, and we did that building from top to bottom, new carpets, new paint. We just changed that in 3 years, and guess what happened after 3 years? They wanted it back. They wanted it back. But it was a great 3 years. It really was. You know, it really was. It was right next to a cemetery over there. We would sit, I'd be sitting upstairs in my office. It had an upstairs office, you know, and I'd hear the door downstairs open up, and I'd hear the door slam, and then I would hear steps coming up the stairs like this, you know, I'd hear that. And so I'd go out to see who was there, and nobody was there. Nobody was there, and I thought, well, I guess you're just visiting from the grave, whatever's going on. I'm not kidding, really. And it was just kind of eerie in that way. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. But, you know, all kinds of crazy things. But people started getting saved and discipled and sent into ministry. And it was just this wonderful, wonderful time that the Lord allowed there. So we stayed there for 3 whole years. And then they wanted it back, and we decided, what are we going to do? Where do we go? So we began to pray. We thought, okay, Castleton's a perfect place, right close to 465. People access, the church will grow, you know, we'll just do that and all. And we just couldn't get any place. Nothing worked out for some reason. Then my secretary brought me a little piece of paper. It said, Indian Lake Christian Retreat, for sale, $1.3 million, 88 acres. And she said, I don't know why, but I'm supposed to show you this. And I thought, $1.3 million. We're still around, you know, 100 people or less at that point. How are we supposed to do this and everything? Well, we believed. We came out on the property here, and we just walked it. And for some reason, it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, this is where he wanted to plant us. In fact, he gave us this scripture out of 2 Samuel 7:10. It says this, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel. In application, we put Horizon in there, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. We stood on that scripture. We believed it was from the Lord. And here we are. We're still here. And there's a whole story. I don't want to go into it. But miraculously, the Lord delivered this property to less than 100 people that had $20,000 in the bank at that point and $1.3 million. And we ended up buying it for $1 million. And it was just phenomenal how God did what he did. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, because the impossible, he just did it in our midst. Are we great spiritual people? No, we're just trying to find out, what are you doing, Lord? What are you doing? We want to just run the race. We want to run it the way that you want us to run it. We just want to be obedient to whatever you have. And so we're going to follow you. And he just did that. And we moved, eventually, they allowed us, we moved on this property, and we moved into this place right here. Well, this is represents the property. I think, Brett, are you here? Is there another one after that? No, there's not. Maybe it would. Anyway, that represents the property we moved on, and that is where we moved into. Many of you have not seen this on the South Campus. There's this, the series of buildings that are there, and that is what we call the fireside room. So we moved from that church building, we moved into this out here, and we just kept teaching the Word of God, having a great old time, seeing what the Lord would do. Well, it just started to grow. People started showing up, and I just thought, interesting. We took the cabins back there, turned that into the place for the children's ministry, and we outgrew this room. So then we went to this room, which is the cafeteria. We went there for one service. We were in one service at the fireside room. We went to here for one service. And then we grew out of that. So then we went back to there for two services. Everybody with me? And then after that, we grew out of two services there. We went to there for two services, and it was just growing. Great time, fun, you know, believing in the Lord, being challenged in different ways. And then I was walking on the property, and what are we going to do next? Because we're growing out of that. What do we do next? So I was walking through the property here. I come over right to this property right here. Imagine no building here. This was one of the most beautiful pieces of property in the whole 88 acres. It was filled with flowers and wonderful trees and big giant pine trees and all that. You might say, well, why did you destroy it? Well, this, I don't know why we did, except that I'm walking here and I just stop and I pray, Lord, what would you have? And he says that still small voice again. And he says, I want you to build the church here. And that's right here. And so I said, really? You want us to do that? And so he presented the impossible again. How can we do that, Lord? We're just able to get the land and what was on here, and you want us to do that? And so he just showed us the property. You can see, I'll just show you some parts of the property, how it looks now. It's just there. There's the amphitheater. You see that, the wall, those things that are there. The cabins, that's where we put the children's ministry during this time, and those things there. This was there, the basketball court. The baseball field has been added and all, and there's the overall property. If you guys don't have any idea, now there's approximately 100 acres, different parts of it there. But then he told us to build this, the first phase, and we were able to build it. How do you do that with, you know, we're still not a large church in any way. But we just stepped out, and God built this building. And again, there's nothing in buildings. The church is the people, but we were able to build that. While we were there, all kinds of ministries. When we first came in here, there were ministries before, but now ministries began to grow. For instance, the children's ministry. I believe that we do a good job with the children's ministry. I'm so thankful for all you that volunteer. Then we see the men's ministry that has grown, and we're active in that way. And the women's ministry. That we can see all those pretty faces, right? Everybody see those pretty faces there? Anybody see your pretty face? Yeah. And then, you know, the youth. And God said, don't leave the youth behind you. So we take care of those. The Bible College started there, Calvary Chapel Bible College. Then we saw Camp Indy start in our midst, and we have those ministries that are here. And then you can just see, again, the Camp Indies, part of its ministries that you see there. And then, after going through all those, the Lord says, okay, I want you to add to it a lot of reasons for the school, but yet the church. And so the back part of the church over there was added. And then eventually, you see also on the property is what we call the brick house, five-bedroom, three-bath house there that Bible College students live in and others live in there. Then the Baker House, we purchased that for 10 acres, and that's where the soccer fields are and the baseball fields are. Then we purchased the missions house there for missionaries to come. Then we started Horizon University, and that represents Horizon University, four-year degree university that we have here. So just a little bit of history. That's it. No more buttons. Aren't you guys excited? Or somebody said, oh, anyway, back to that right there. So everybody get an idea? We just thought we wanted to talk about what the Lord has done in the past. There's so many more details. I don't want to bore all you guys with all the details, but so many different details. Now, what I'd like to do is just talk for a minute about what I'd like you to pray for. Is that okay? If you got a pencil and paper, if you'd like to do this, we are praying as a leadership team for things that we believe are impossible. And we've been praying a little bit. We've been praying about bringing it to you guys. That's why we're having this meeting today. And if you'll just join with me on this, and if you'd like to do it and be involved in any way that you want. And so as leadership and as a staff, we've been praying for impossible things for several months. This year has seen us praying for three things very specifically. In January of 2019, we passed out a little flyer that spoke about being radical for God. So we are praying during 2019 that we would be radical for God. Have you guys been praying? We've been praying that we would be radical, whatever that means. We put down some ideas. How about being radical for God in the Word, radical for God in prayer, radical for God in discipleship, radical for God in evangelism, radical for God in our tithing and our giving. And so we've just been putting those out, been praying about it. And then secondly, kind of tied in with that, we've been praying for revival to break out in our midst. And we believe we're beginning to see things along those lines. We've seen it in the school. We've seen different things in the church. And so we have a sheet that we've been praying about for 2 years, a revival of prayer, a revival of praise, a revival of purity, a revival for the passion for the lost, revival for, going out and doing what he would want us to do in that way. So we've been praying for that, and we'll put these things on the website if you'd like to look at those in that way. And the third thing, we've been asking God to do the impossible in and through us for his glory. So that we'd be radical, that he'd bring a revival in our midst, and that he would do the impossible in our midst in that way. Now, one thing I'd like to say, revival costs. Revival cost. It's cost. If we truly are serious, how many would like to see revival come? Okay. Now, when we raise our hands, I want you to know that we're volunteering and we're saying, God, I want to be available for whatever it costs. It's going to cost us. It truly is if we want to see revival. I believe that the world is crazy right now. Anybody else? You know, maybe more crazy than we've seen at any other times. I believe that potentially the Middle East could explode at any moment. Now, you guys are going to Israel in 2 weeks. Don't be afraid. We'll be okay. You know, if we don't come back here, we'll go to heaven. That'll be good. Okay. No, but anyway. So anyway, you know, I just believe that God wants to do something because there's things that are lining up as you look at Scripture, and we don't have time to talk about all of those things. So we need to pray. There's a cost that we need to pay. So this is a statement here that we put together as a leadership group. We believe that God has and is doing great things in our midst. All across this property and across the many ministries God has us involved in, we see amazing things happening. Obviously, we can do nothing without God. We accomplish nothing apart from the Holy Spirit's power working in and through us. Thus, we are asking God to do the impossible in our midst. But we must always remember that it is not by our might nor by our power that things will be accomplished. It is His grace. It is by His grace. It is His grace that works in and through us. Thus, we must pray, and after we have prayed, pray some more. And so we're going to be asking you guys to pray. We're going to ask you to come to prayer meetings. We're going to be asking. I've been praying about this. At times, people will come to me and say, why don't we do this? And I just feel, okay, I want to do that. But I'm waiting for what I feel is the unction of the Holy Spirit. How does He want us to do that? So join with us and pray. We believe that God desires to see our ministries grow in breadth and depth and reach, and we have been led to pray for the impossible. The prayer requests that I will share with you now are in response to needs within the varied ministries here at Horizon. All are submitted to God and asked according to God's will. Our desire is for God to be glorified in all things. As all of us pray to God and ask Him to do more abundantly than we can even imagine, we will look forward to more opportunities to minister in His name here in our city, our state, our nation, and the world. Does that sound like fun? It is. But it's going to cost us. Are we willing to pay that? Mr. Willis said that in his statement that I've read many times about revival. Revival cost us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. How many believe that? We do that. And so it's only going to happen in prayer. It's only going to happen, I believe, as we're in prayer and we're petitioning and we gather, when we have opportunities to gather by the Holy Spirit. As a leadership team, we'll be very sensitive. But I pray that when we call a prayer meeting, that you guys will be, okay, let's get together. Let's pray. Let's get on our knees. Let's share what's on our hearts. Let's just go knock on the door of heaven and see what the Lord would say. Ask, seek, and knock. And so here's some things that we're praying for. You can write these down now that I asked. We went to the team and said, guys, what do you believe is impossible? And the first thing that came out of our lips was revival. It's impossible outside of God. That's what we're saying. Anything we are praying for is impossible outside of God. And so then we went around the table and everything, and Paul Lang spoke up and he says, I believe that the Bible college, it would be wonderful. We have right now, we have, we vary somewhere between like 17, 18 to 23 students. What would be impossible if the Lord brought 35 students? That doesn't sound like a lot, but this facility can handle only so many. So we've been praying for 35 students. Would you guys join us and do that? We'll put these things on the website. He also said that the graduates would leave with a deep walk in God and find their place to serve God in the marketplace and ministries and churches. So we've been praying. We're asking you, we're bringing you in to begin to pray that way. Horizon University that we talked about, then when we came and brought it here from San Diego, it just went down to about zero students. Right now we have over 60 students, but we're praying and asking the Lord that he would bring us over 200 students and he would start a graduate program in that way. That would be impossible. On our own efforts, but we're trusting the Lord for that. Wes spoke up and he said, Camp Indy. Camp Indy not only has the Camp Indy part of the ministry that he's praying for, he's asking that the Lord between now and the summer of 2020 would bring 250 additional campers. So we could pray that way. He also has a ministry called Connect where we bring people on the property and they use the wall. Businesses use that. And we just had somebody that has a business teaching leadership, non-Christian people. We brought them out here and we went them through certain challenge aspects of what's here and we shared with them about Jesus Christ. You know, nobody accepted the Lord at that point, but we pray. We're praying for more opportunities in what we call the Connect ministry. And he also asked that God would bless the needed need in the camp costs as more people come in that way. Horizon Christian School. We prayed for a bus to be purchased so we can bring the people from the inner city up here to go to school. We prayed for the funding that is necessary to do that and other things. We prayed for a revival to come within the school there. And we've asked that the Lord, we have 275 students. We said, Lord, it would be wonderful if we had 320 students. So that's impossible. We've never had that number. So I know this is a lot of details, but we want to bring you to the point where we are. We'll get it out to you, and you can pray. Horizon Christian Fellowship, we're about ready to wrap it up here. We would love to see 90% of you guys involved in 90% involved in serving in ministry. And so we're going to pray that ministry grows, and you guys will be involved, being willing to step out. Home fellowships. By next summer, we would like to see 20 new people become home fellowship leaders. Do you have a desire to do that? Teaching the Word of God. We're praying for that. The youth group, that the rooms would be bursting. And during the third service, the youth groups are here. Wednesday nights, they're here. They meet at Brett's house over on Sunday evenings. We're also praying for the worship. Ed spoke up. And you guys know Ed, he leads us in worship. And he said, it would be wonderful if we can complete what we have in here. We've come to a point and there's a ceiling here that needs to be redone. There's a cost to that, but yeah, that needs to be met. But you might say, okay, it's a gym. Why do that? Well, this is where we meet. And why not have it the best way that we can and certain things there? So we're praying. That was Ed. Ed went beyond and he went beyond my belief right now. He said, let's have a standalone worship center. Pray for that. Maybe God will do that. Gymnasium, a separate dedicated gymnasium for that. Praying for the missionaries. We talked about missionaries. Be able to double support and every ministry have a care team that is actively engaged with them. Counseling. Tracy wants to see 10 new counselors. He'll train you guys if you want to be available. We have people outside of our church come And there's so many different needs that come through these doors here. We need 10 more counselors, men and women, that want to go through the training, that would want to be used in that way. We also did pray, and I always feel awkward with this, but it takes finances to do that. So we just said, Lord, might you increase the tithes and offerings within our church. We actually said that it would increase about $250,000. So that's my awkward feeling thing. You can guys can erase that or whatever, but you can pray about it and all that. Now, so can you guys pray for those things? Yes. Is that okay to share these things? Yes. All right. So we were just praying about these things. We're thinking about coming here. We're looking at different things. We were being challenged a little bit through the year in ministry, the years of ministry. There's been times like where we go, Lord, we don't know how we're even supposed to make payroll. And we've had that challenges through the years like that. And he's just taken us. We're not a rich church. Because we're close to Geist, people think that we're, you know, we just go week by week. We go month by month. Sometimes we never know sometimes if there's going to be a paycheck or not. Is that okay sharing those things? Because that's, I'd like to see a lot of, yeah, it's okay, like that. Because we carry this. We pray about it. We keep it quiet. We don't talk about it. Well, we were at one of those times again. We weren't sure how anything would happen. And so I was sitting there with Debbie Marshall, who oversees the finances, and we were going, and we were just talking, and I had a letter that came in to me from a guy that was in prison. And I opened up the letter. We were just talking about that, and we were ready to pray about everything in that way. And I opened this letter, and I never read my private correspondence out loud, but I started reading it. Can I share it with you guys? It's a guy that's in prison writes this. Hello, my name is Arthur Schaffner Jr. I used to attend your church when I was a young boy. My parents are Rita and Lee Schaffner. I had a pretty bad childhood. I dealt with abuse emotionally and physically, and I dealt with a lot of abandonment. And your church was always a place where I was, when I was a kid, that was a safe and fun place. I learned about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all the love he gives us through grace. I got to this point, I was reading this letter, and I got to admit, I started crying. Debbie started crying. We were just these two bawling people in there, because here is a person just saying that this church, which is you guys, was a place that he looked back to and knew that it was a safe place that he could learn about Jesus Christ. What more could we ask for? Just five people. It's all five people and what he's done, but he's made this place a safe place. He goes on, I got involved in the street life, I guess you could say, and have been in and out of jails and prisons since I was 22 years old. We had a great effect on his life, didn't we? We really did. He says, I am the founder of a prison gang called Westside NAP and have seen a lot of evil stuff inside this place. I am now 40 years old and just got another 20-year sentence for dealing drugs. I have struggled with addiction my entire life. And I'm going, really? We had such a great effect on your life reading this as I'm going through this. But this is where the story changes for me. I have been sober for over 2 months now. To him, 2 months is gigantic. I have surrendered to Jesus Christ totally. I am in a drug treatment program called the RWI, Recovery While Incarcerated, and I am also involved in a group called JCs, who help homeless children. Jesus Christ has saved my life, and with him I want to help change lives too. Oh yeah, upon my completion of these programs, I am eligible for a sentence modification. So God willing, I will be home soon. It'll be wonderful. He comes and gives a testimony too. He says, well, the reason I am writing this letter to you is I want to give you 10% of my state pay every month up to you. It's only, and then when I opened this up, a check jumped out or fell out. And so he says, it's only $2 or $3, but I want to give something to you. I don't have anyone to send me money, so it's all that I have. My mother is in bad health, and I don't have anyone else. But you are the biggest reason for my belief in Jesus Christ, and I love and thank you so much. I hope to hear back from you. I'm going to write this guy a letter. Praise the Lord. So out of it, this little check, I looked at this check for $2. What did you think it said to my heart? Pardon me? He gave all he has. And who's that we see in the scripture like that? The widow's mite. And I saw this and I said, God, you are so good in the midst of everything that you're doing that you would have somebody in prison do that as and encourage our hearts in the midst of what we were praying about and all that. Is God good? He's good. To me, impossible. Impossible, all that this guy went through to have his life changed in this way. And so we are praying and we're asking you to join us. Spurgeon said this in closing. Elisha has no common man now that God's spirit. Elisha was no common man now that God's spirit was upon him, calling him to God's work and aiding him in it. And you, devoted, anxious, prayerful saint, remain no longer a common being. He's speaking about us. You have become in a special manner the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you, and you by faith had entered upon a career of a wonder worker. You are sent into the world not to do the things which are possible to men, but to do things impossible, which God works by his Spirit through the means of his believing people. You are to work miracles, to do marvels. And that's what we want to see for the glory of God. Is that okay? And so I believe that God's calling us to pray and believe him for the impossible. What is the impossible in your heart? We want to hear that. Write it down. Let me know so we can begin all to pray for that. Amen?
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.